Hallelujah. How many of you glad to be here tonight? Say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we all set, Dave? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Actually, Dave, we need some help down here with your wife. No, I'm just kidding. You can stay there. Turn with me while we're waiting here to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. I've got a word from God for you tonight. Matthew, chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 5. Just take a little pause while people peel themselves off the floor. Ain't no service like a Holy Ghost service. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. I'm actually going to read another verse, another chapter, another passage. And, you can turn there if you want, but I'm going to read from you in John chapter 5 just to start off. It's just kind of a teaser to get into the message. Let's see, where shall I start? Where shall I start? Verse 19, let's start there. John 5, 19. Now hold your place in Matthew 16, 5 if you're already there. You don't have to turn to John. I'm just going to go through this real quick. And Jesus said, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For what things soever He does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He does, and He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So how many of you here tonight, by a show of hands, this should be 100%, are a son or daughter of God? Raise your hand. Amen. All right, so I know the altar call for salvation was good. We got it. You know, everybody was already saved. Praise God. So you're a son of God, so you have right to the same thing that Jesus is stating here. Everything that you see the Father do, you can therefore do. So a lack of doing is a lack of seeing. A lack of doing is like I preached several months ago. What you see is what you get. So a lack of getting starts from a lack of seeing. Jesus said He could not do anything without first seeing the Father do it. Jesus said, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. We had a staff meeting earlier today, and Pastor brought a word. I don't know when you'll share it. I'm not going to spill the beans on your word. But he brought a word about endued with dunamis power, a powerful, powerful word. Praise God. And Jesus said, all power is given unto Me. Hallelujah. And the way He released and manifested that power was because He first saw what the Father had done. Jesus operated by revelation. I want to tell you right now that all power in heaven and earth is given unto you. Hallelujah. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How many of you have had the Holy Ghost come upon you at some point in your life? You've been baptized with the Spirit and you're filled with the Holy Ghost. So all power has been given unto you, praise God. And you may say, well, David, I'm not quite seeing all the manifestations. It's like Pastor was sharing today in the staff meeting. We know the revelation, but we're not quite there all the way. He said, we've left, but we have not arrived. We haven't manifested in its fullness, but God has a method. Praise God. It's what Jesus shared here. Jesus said that I do nothing of Myself. He said, I can do nothing of Myself. Imagine that. That's not just a blunder of the translation. Jesus said, I can do nothing of Myself. The Son of God that had never sinned, had never done anything wrong, said that He could do nothing of Himself. So your faith and the power that God has placed on the inside of you is not to work outside of God. It's not for you to work it all on your own. You're not an island of power all unto yourself now that you've got the Holy Ghost. What you see God do, then the power that is at work on the inside of you is then released to do the same thing. Hallelujah. You can do everything that Jesus did, and greater works than these will you do, because He went to His Father to send the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God has placed all this on the inside of you. But we've got to have revelation. We've got to have understanding of what God is doing. We've got to see into the realm of the Spirit to see what God is doing. Hallelujah. So that we can manifest things in our lives. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
For verse 21, as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom He will. So Jesus here is saying that resurrection power, power to raise the dead, starts with first seeing the Father do it. So I want to ask you tonight, what are you seeing in your spirit? What are you seeing that God is doing in your life? Hallelujah. You see, the ability for us to walk and manifest the goodness of God, the miracles of God, and manifest revival, and to see a church filled, praise God, from front to the back in every single service, starts with first seeing it and seeing God the Father doing that, praise God. You know what? As in the realm of business, I've got a business. In the realm of business, you know, you get a direction from the Lord, but you really look in the realm of the natural and you determine, well, finances are doing this. And then, you know, the clients are saying this, so I'm going to adjust my business plan. And you look in the realm of the natural to then determine what you're going to do in the realm of the natural. That's really how the business world works. But in the ministry and in the gospel, it's not that way. In the ministry and in the gospel, you got to look in the realm of the spirit and see what is God doing. You know, we can't just look in the realm of the natural and say, well, let's do this, let's do that. You know, God may have all those ideas, but what God's doing in your life and what God's doing in this church is going to start because you're seeing something in the realm of the spirit. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. When the eyes of your spirit are open, then you will know what God is doing. Hallelujah. And that's where you get your direction. That's where you differentiate between good ideas and God's ideas. That's when you differentiate between what doesn't work and what begins to explode the gospel of Jesus Christ across the city. That's when you differentiate between what works in your life and what is going to grow and bring increase in your life, because you got it by looking and seeing what your Father God was doing first. Hallelujah. Can you say amen tonight? So Jesus here is sharing that He only could do something that He saw His Father do first. After He saw the Father do it, then He was able to do it. Hallelujah. We have complicated this thing way too much. The spirit of religion has come in and tried to say, well, you don't have enough anointing. Well, you're not holy enough. Jesus was totally pure and holy, yet He said, I cannot do anything unless I see my Father do it. So all of His holiness, the fact that He had never sinned, still didn't make it just work however He wanted to. He still had to see what the Father was doing and then do the same. I want to tell you right now, when you see in your heart, when the eyes of your spirit are enlightened and you see what God is doing, when you see what He's doing in your life, when you see what He's doing in your finances, when you see what He's doing in your physical body, when you see what He's doing here in Calvary Cathedral, then there is nothing that can stop the manifestation from taking place. There is absolutely nothing. God has not structured this where He gives you revelation of something and then you got to go out and fight and struggle with the devil for 3 months before it takes place. Forget that, forget that, forget that. Maybe that's point number one tonight, is forget that. God has not structured this where you're just supposed to squabble with the devil for some indefinite period of time before the promises of God begin to manifest. When you see it, when you get it in the spirit, you have power to manifest it. Hallelujah. There is nothing that can stop that. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a praise for that. Hallelujah. When you see it, then you have power to manifest it. That's why it's so important to come to church, because you're getting the corporate anointing and you will see more and receive more by the Spirit than you would have otherwise. You'll miss things if you skip services. You'll miss things if you just start saying, well, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. You begin to miss things and the eyes of your understanding begin to get dimmer. Because God has got outpourings of His Spirit. He has revelation that's being made manifest, but you weren't there to hear it. But praise God, you're here tonight, so you are catching what the Spirit of God wants to do. That's why it's so important, hallelujah, to have times in the services where the Holy Ghost is just flowing and touching people, because we never know what's taking place. I'm telling you, when you begin to shout and rejoice, you may have just a bunch of joy flowing out of you, but the person next to you was fighting with depression and they hear your joy and you're rejoicing and that spirit of depression breaks off of them just like that. Why? Because they saw joy and rejoicing, and all of a sudden they're delivered. That is the power of the Word of God. That's the power of the Spirit of God. In the book of John, it says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot comprehend it. The darkness cannot stop it. You want to break every stronghold of poverty. You want to break every stronghold of physical health problems. You want to break every stronghold, any area of lack or anything that you need that's become a stronghold or difficulty. All you have to do is flip the light on. That's all you have to do. The devil wants to get Christians all up in a tizzy trying to deal with the devil. And out there, and you're in a room full of God's promises, and the light switch is off, and you're in a bunch of darkness, and you're over there throwing punches, man, trying to cut the darkness out. You can do that all day. You're fighting the wrong battle, Jack. Jesus already fought that battle on the cross. Galatians chapter 2, around verse 16, it says that our faith is to link up with Jesus' faith. Your faith cannot accomplish what His faith already accomplished. His faith already did all these things on the cross. Your faith is just to receive what He already did. Hallelujah. You weren't righteous and holy enough ever to have beaten the devil even a little bit, but Jesus gave you His righteousness. So that's a victory that's already won. You don't have to sit there and fight and struggle with darkness, fight and struggle with cancer, fight and struggle with disease, fight and struggle with debt and lack and all these things. You don't have to fight and struggle with that regardless of where you find yourself. You can flip the light switch on, praise God, and God is going to work it through. You may see a healing miracle take place instantly. It may take place over a period of a year. You may see a financial miracle take place instantly. It may take place over a period of time, but keep the light switch on and stop struggling and giving the devil all this glory. Forget the devil. Give God the glory, praise God, and begin to see with the eyes of your spirit. Hallelujah. Because what you see God doing, then you can have. Hallelujah, immediately. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What you see God doing, you can have immediately. What you see God doing is yours. That's why the Word says when we see Him, we will be like Him. The more of Him you see, the more of Him you're going to become. That's the power of revelation. That's the power of revelation. Why is revelation so powerful? Because it's revealing to you who you already are and what you already have. That's why this is so powerful. Jesus saw the Father do something. He had revelation of, I already have a miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. It was revealed to Jesus that He already had a miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus saw the Father multiplying the loaves and the fishes to the 4,000. And so He already knew, I've already got it. I'm not really concerned. Jesus didn't go into a tizzy of machine gun tongues when He was going to multiply the loaves and the fishes and just pray it was going to work. You know, you can pray machine gun tongues and it's just based out of fear. You're getting a little bitty amount of work accomplished in the realm of the Spirit. Jesus didn't do that. He just broke the bread and blessed it, and God multiplied it. Why? Because He already had it. The power of revelation reveals to you what you already have and who you already are. And the devil is trying to tell you that you need to fight to go get something. The devil's telling you that you need to fight to be something. You do not have to fight to be healed. You do not have to fight to get the prosperity or the blessing. You do not have to fight to get the ministry. You do not have to fight to get the family blessing on your life. God has already given it to you. Hallelujah. Revelation gets that on the inside of you and you begin to see that you've already got it. That's the power of revelation. Revelation reveals to you the dunamis power that you've got, and then you lay hands on the sick and they get healed. Hallelujah. Because you know that you've got the power. That's a little part of Pastor's message. You've got the power. Hallelujah. You've got the power. Revelation reveals to you who you already are and what you already have. Hallelujah. So turn. Let's look in Matthew chapter 16 in verse 5. Hallelujah. When His disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So Jesus just gave them some advice, some understanding. And then verse 7, the disciples totally miss what God was speaking to them. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. And then Jesus perceived, He said unto them, O you of little faith, Why do you reason among yourselves? Because we have no bread. Do you not understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? Verse 11, how is it you do not understand that I spoke to you concerning bread, that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? So Jesus tells them at the beginning, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's saying, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were the religious people. The Sadducees were like the secular people. There's religious bad doctrine out there, and then there's secular bad doctrine. There's the spirit of religion that wants to contaminate you and tell you that you don't have your miracle, you don't have your healing, you got to go out and fight for it, you got to do all this. Spirit of religion wants to tell you that you don't have and you can't do and it's not going to happen and you don't need the power of God in your life and you don't need this. The spirit of religion will tell you those things. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. The Pharisees right there. Then there's the leaven of the Sadducees, the political, the secular crowd. I'd say that's the spirit of Antichrist that just wants to tell you there's no anointing. Antichrist is anti-anointing. Yeah. The spirit of Antichrist really is not concerned about the dead, dry churches that aren't getting anybody saved, that aren't getting anybody healed, and they have no anointing. But you want to stand up and go do a healing crusade somewhere, they're going to attack you. And they're with blood, just ravenous wolves all over the place. Because I've experienced that before. We did a crusade in one city. And we're putting up our crusade signs that say, you know, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the crippled walk, and all of this stuff. And we could feel the hatred and the spirit of Antichrist. And we got emails protesting against us. They were tearing down our signs, stealing our signs. So I know what that's like. The spirit of Antichrist is the anti-anointing. So the devil has these things that are going to come against you and try to tell you no anointing, no power, you can't do it. It's not going to work. A spirit of religion just to whittle down everything that God's doing in your life. Or try to whittle down everything that God's doing in the gospel. Try to whittle down what God's doing in the ministry, at the church, in the evangelistic crusade. And then all these things, the spirit of religion wants to whittle it down. And then the spirit of Antichrist just wants to whittle it down and come against you. And so Jesus is telling the disciples to beware of their doctrine. And beware of what they are saying. Don't listen to it. Because if you get it into you, it's going to affect you. And so the disciples totally missed it. Now, just to back up the time clock here, they had just seen Jesus feed the 5,000. He had five loaves and fishes. He broke the five loaves and then he fed 5,000 and brought up five baskets left. Then sometime later, he had 4,000 people plus men, plus women and children. And he had seven loaves. He broke and blessed the loaves and then fed everybody and then took up 12 baskets. So how many of you can see there that the math does not add up? Even if you're just like trying to do spiritual math, you'd say five loaves, five baskets left over. So if you start off with seven loaves, you should have seven baskets left over. I mean, even spiritually, it's like the math doesn't add up. With logic in the realm of the natural right in their face, Jesus had manifested these two miracles, so it was no longer just spiritual understanding. It was no longer something out there in the realm of the spirit. With it in the realm of the natural, right in front of their face, they still did not consider anything of how it happened, why it happened, nothing. I mean, they completely just whiffed right over them. Missed everything that Jesus was doing. The only miracles that Jesus ever recited or recounted to his disciples were these miracles. He never came back to the disciples and said, you know, when I raised Lazarus from the dead, he never did that. The only miracles Jesus ever brought back up and rehearsed were the miracles of multiplying the bread and the fish to the 4,000 and to the 5,000. So there's something that we got to understand here that Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. They saw the evidence in the realm of the natural. And the first thing is that there is hardness of heart. The disciples saw the miracle in the realm of the natural. We've seen miracles here tonight. We see miracles and services here constantly. We saw some here tonight. And you can see a miracle in the realm of the natural, but you need something in the realm of the natural, but yet you may say, well, praise God for that. And then you go your way tonight and you never make any adjustment in your heart for the miracle that you need. And nothing ever changes. See, that's what Jesus was dealing with here. That the disciples saw it in the natural, but they did not let it get into their heart, to their spirit man where the heart dwells. The decisive place of your being is your heart. It's not your physical heart. It's your heart. It's your soul. It's the thing that chooses between the flesh, the spirit, or your emotions. It's your heart. E.W. Vine described the heart as the seat of desire. It's the thing that connects all three of you. All three of me. I looked in the mirror and I saw only one this morning. No, you're actually a three-part being, your spirit, soul, and body. If you could draw three stick figures, spirit, soul, and body, then you just draw a heart that connects them all. Your heart is the thing that connects your spirit and your soul and your body. Now, don't get all, you know, you can't put this under a microscope or anything like that. But just trust me, your heart is what chooses between the flesh. If you want to sin, it chooses between the spirit. If you want to get in the word, and it chooses between the emotions if you want to get offended or not on those things. Your heart is what chooses between these different things. So the disciples, their heart was in the realm of the flesh. They saw the miracle of the loaves twice take place right in front of them, and they never let that get into their spirit. They never got their heart into the things of the spirit and begin to think, well, something is going on here that Jesus just did that I need to get a hold of. So Jesus gives them this little piece of advice. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why? Because Jesus knew that rather than the disciples taking in the miracles that they saw, they were taking in more of the doctrine, the conversation of the religious people and the Antichrist crowd or the secular crowd. You see, they had these options. They had over here the miracle that Jesus worked. They had over here the religious people. And they had over here the Antichrist or the secular crowd, the lost community that mocks, like the reporter on ABC we've heard about that mocked people speaking in tongues. That's them over here. Well, I heard they're mocking people that speak in tongues. I guess I probably shouldn't speak in tongues anymore other than just in my closet a little bit every day, because if somebody hears me speaking in tongues, you just beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. That's the leaven of the Sadducees right there. Beware of that. Because when you begin to take that in, you're taking that into your heart and you're pushing out the miracles that God has done. God has done enough miracles in your life and in the presence of your life, in the life of other people, for you to believe Him for anything and everything that you need to believe Him for. Whether or not you're letting that rule your heart and you are letting the eyes of your spirit be enlightened is another issue. God has done His part. He has His word being preached. He has the power of the Spirit manifesting. Whether or not you're taking time in prayer and fasting as the Holy Ghost leads and in word study to get that into you is a whole other issue. The disciples had seen these miracles, and Jesus is the head coach. I want to tell you, sometimes Jesus is the most loving father you've ever had, but He can also be the toughest coach you've ever had. In Matthew chapter 17, he said, "Oh, you perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you?" You know, that's not necessarily the loving father's comment as much as it is the tough coach comment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, one thing that I think we got to raise up a generation of young people, teenagers and things that know how to have a loving father and know how to receive from that, but that also know how to have a tough coach that can say, "Look, buddy, shape up. What you're doing is wrong. I've talked to you about this a bunch of times. Shape up, Jack. You got to change what you're doing. You can't show up to work, you know, 2 hours late every day out there at Wendy's and think you're going to keep your job, buddy. Shape up. You know, it's a little rabbit trail right there. But I just, you know, sometimes we need young people that know how to take correction and receive it and shape up and be a man about stuff. Hallelujah." Just while I'm on that, it applies to the things of God too. A lot of people, regardless of what age we are, we don't want to hear correction. But you got to read Hebrews where it talks about being people that are not corrected. I'm not going to, in the King James, it uses what we consider a cuss word. But you just go read that on your own. But people that don't receive correction, that you don't have a real father, you're actually fatherless. If Christians that will not receive correction are actually fatherless. And don't get mad at me because I didn't write that. But we have to know how to receive correction from our spiritual father, from our pastor, and from people that God has put in your life. We have to know how to receive correction. Say, "Okay, all right, you're right. I receive that." There have been so many times over the last 20 years. I think I started preaching in 93. There have been so many times, especially earlier on, when I received correction in this house, either from pastor or the other pastors on staff all through the years, and I'm sitting there thinking, they were so, that was so, I was smart enough, pastor, not to say anything out loud. I was like, yes, sir, all right. But on the inside, Charlie, I'm like, so wrong, so wrong. But I was smart enough to not say anything and just do what I was told. And then sometimes about a month later, I'm like, whoa, he was right. And another time I specifically remember, it was almost a year, maybe 2 years, before I realized he was right the whole time. Thank God I was smart enough just to do what he said. Sometimes you got to be smart enough to just take the correction and do what you've been told, even though you know it's wrong. And then you'll realize it was right after all. And sometimes, hey, I've got, you know, people underneath me and in business or ministry and, you know, have had staff and just different things. And I make mistakes. Sometimes I'll do something wrong as a leader. It happens. But you get it right. But unity is important. Hallelujah. So I don't know how I got off on that rabbit trail. So somebody pray in tongues for me real quick. I'm just kidding. Jesus here is dealing with the disciples and giving them a correction. Thus the rabbit trail. He's giving them a correction. Because we do not have the liberty in our Christian walk just to take in anything and everything that we want and think that we are going to receive everything that God has for us. Mark chapter 4, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the seed. And it clearly says when you read this, the seed is the word and the soil is the heart of man. What you sow into your heart, what you let in is everything. So Jesus is dealing with the disciples because they're listening to the Pharisees over here talk about religion and all of that garbage. Well, you know, this church down the road or this ministry down the road, they don't pray in tongues in public ever. Well, I'm sorry, but if you really read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you will see that there is a proper way to pray in tongues in a public service. Well, this, you know, all kinds of religious garbage. Where do people come up with this stuff? You know, I'm not going to go rabbit trail and all kinds of them, but you just think, where do people come up with some of the religious things about why we can't lay hands on the sick, why we can't get people healed, why we can't pray in tongues, why we can't manifest the power of God, why we shouldn't be going after people to get them saved? Where do people come up with this stuff? Because it ain't in the Bible. It's a spirit of religion, and people will listen to that stuff all day. But there's also a spirit of Antichrist, which I believe is the leaven of the Sadducees that tries to tell you no anointing, no gospel, no power, and it's just a secular mindset. I mean, how many over the past 20-something years, especially I volunteered in the youth ministry for a long period of time, and how many young people did I see? Most of them walk the straight and the narrow and serve God, but not a small number, a decent number of others just went straight for the Sadducee spirit that is just the spirit of the world, the spirit of Antichrist, and went into drugs, went into alcohol, and all of these things. They just received the whole thing because that's the spirit of the world. The wages of sin is death, unfortunately. You know, so we're not excited about that, but I've seen it happen. So Jesus here is differentiating between the Antichrist spirit, the worldly spirit, the religious spirit, and then listening and observing what he did. You cannot see miracles and then just go your way and think that you're going to see everything take place in your life when you continue to take in more of the Sadducees, more of that Antichrist worldly spirit, watching everything on TV that comes down the pike, watching every kind of movie and not having no filter on the movies that you watch, or getting involved in the religious spirit and thinking, well, we don't need to operate in the power and all these things. You can't take in that kind of stuff and think that God is going to be able to manifest everything in your life that he wants to manifest. So Jesus is dealing with the disciples here and he says, why is your faith so little? Why is your faith so little? Their hardness, and in another place, he rebuked them for their hardness of heart. So hardness of heart is unbelief. We take in the spirit of the world, the Sadducees, the Antichrist thing, the religious thing, because our hearts are hard to the things of God. God can work miracles. Now, I'm not saying you are, so this is not, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying everybody here has a hardened heart. But God, when we do that, our hearts are hard to the things of God, and God's over here working miracles. You see people get healed. You see the power of God manifest, but your heart is hardened to it. And Jesus is expecting you to see what he just did, to see the miracle of the loaves, to see the healings that take place, to hear the word that was preached and respond. Hallelujah. So take time to respond to what God has done, to take it in, to pray, hallelujah, and let God begin to bring power and revelation in your life. Hallelujah. The disciples' eyes were blinded because of what they were taking in. They were blinded to what? Revelation. Jesus wanted them to walk in the same ability and revelation that he was with his Father. He's trying to pass on the same thing. So he's given them some course correction so they can walk in the same revelation that Jesus was walking in, so that they could see what God the Father is doing and do it in their own life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So he begins to talk to him and bring this out. So the disciples, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Whew, it just goes totally right over their head. Now, Jesus, you got to understand, you could say, why did you say that, Jesus? That makes no sense. You got to be careful when you respond that way, because there's more to it than you understand. Jesus expected them to know what he was talking about, because they should have, when they observed these miracles take place, they should have seen that and said, oh, wow, this is something new. I don't understand it. And gone to the place of prayer and gone to the Word and let the Holy Ghost bring revelation to their hearts, so that they were then seeing in the Spirit the same thing that Jesus was seeing. If they had done that, then when he said this, they would have said, yep, you're right, Jesus. We can't take in that Antichrist spirit. We can't just watch any old movie and listen to any old music we want to. We can't just drink and smoke and breathe anything that we want to. That's the leaven of the Sadducees. You're right, Jesus. If they had really, really been impressed with the miracle and taken it in prayer and begin to work that in like they should have, then they would have said, you're right, Jesus. I can't take in that spirit of religion. I can't just watch any old thing on YouTube or Facebook on television when they're talking against the power of God. I can't just watch any old religious preacher that doesn't believe in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. We can't take that in. They would have said, you're right, Jesus. We can't do that. And he'd have said, good job, guys. They should have already figured this out. We should already have these things figured out. But if you do, great. If you don't, great. You're getting it right now. Praise God. So this is what has taken place. I'm going to give you three quick points. Maybe I'll bring this up next time to expound on these things. But I'm just going to go over these points. Number one, your level of revelation determines your level of manifestation. Your level of revelation determines your level of manifestation. Jesus said, I can do nothing but what I see the Father do. You could very well say, I can manifest nothing but what I have revelation from the Father of. Your level of revelation determines your manifestation. If you need a greater manifestation of finances, greater manifestation of healing in your life, of whatever it is that your desire is, greater manifestation of citywide revival, you need to get greater revelation first. Get in the place of prayer and look and see what God is doing, because I guarantee you that God has put that desire in your heart for a reason. God wants to meet every desire that you have. God wants to meet every desire that you have. He's put that desire in your heart for a reason. He wants to meet every need that you have in abundance. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The administration of this service meets the needs with thanksgiving in abundance. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He wants to meet every need in abundance. But he has to first get you to the place where you are letting that in and receiving revelation. Because then you understand, I already have it. Then you understand, I already am this. Hallelujah. You got to get revelation. Your revelation determines your manifestation. See, the problem is that when we have a lack of manifestation of something, then we bypass going and getting revelation in our hearts and getting a greater understanding of God's goodness and glory and what He's already done. We bypass all of that. And we just want to go and kind of do our own form of prayer and address things in the realm of the natural. And when you do that, I'm telling you, the devil's leading you. Amen. Well, I'm praying. Jesus talked about the hypocrites love to pray. And I'm not saying you're a hypocrite, but I'm telling you, that When you see lack, when you see need, when something's fallen short of the need that you need or the desire that you have, if you go straight to that in the realm of the natural and begin to attack it and deal with everything that you can, what you've done is bypassed God the Father. Jesus said, I can do nothing but what I see my Father do. So now you need to do something, but you didn't take, you let the need drive you rather than letting God the Father drive you and reveal to you. You cannot let the need in the natural drive you. You cannot let the need in the natural move you. And as a side note, fear at times like this will come and appear to you as false wisdom. I'm telling you, so many people get in trouble because they don't know the difference between wisdom and fear. You see, the desire is not fulfilled yet. The need is not fulfilled yet in the realm of the natural. If you address things and deal with things in the realm of the natural, then you're opening yourself up. You can get into a place where fear is actually leading you, and your prayer life is just followed from one manifestation of lack and trouble to the next manifestation of lack and trouble. And the whole time, God the Father is up here, just one look into His face like Moses. In Exodus chapter 33 and 34, you're going to see everything that you need to know. Like Jesus said, when I do nothing but what I see my Father do. Just one look into the glory of God, and you're going to get so much revelation and understanding of what you need that you'll be able to see everything manifest and everything that you desire, all the needs met. Hallelujah. Like I said, it may happen instantly. It may take a period of time, but praise God, we're on our way to see that. Or you've already seen, we saw some instant miracles tonight. But if you let the need and that desire that hasn't been fulfilled yet drive you and direct you, then the devil can get behind that and drive you and direct you. I didn't mean to go that long on that point. Number one, your level of revelation determines your manifestation. So if you have a lack of manifestation, don't try to just deal directly with the manifestation. Take a step back. Get in the presence of God. Get in prayer. Maybe fast as the Holy Ghost leads you until you get revelation. Until you got it. Until you have it. Hallelujah. Number two, raise your level of revelation. And I don't have time to expound on these points, but I'll just read them to you. Things that stop revelation. I got under number point two, things that stop revelation. Number one is hardness of heart. Stops revelation from coming to you. Number two is a lack of praying in tongues. That'll stop revelation from coming to you. Number three is carnal mindedness. Being carnal minded will stop revelation from coming to you. Then things that bring revelation. One is spirit unctioned prayer. You want to bring greater revelation in your life? Begin to pray by the unction of the Holy Ghost. And I've said this before, when you're praying in tongues, just be careful that all of your tongues don't just become kind of words that you've just learned and you're not even conscious of the fact that you're not praying by the unction of the Holy Ghost. Because you can go through the day and just be praying in tongues supposedly, and all you're doing is like, kataba, 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 kataba. Oh, kataba, kataba, kataba. Kataba, 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 kataba. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you've been praying in tongues all day, but really there wasn't by the unction of the Holy Ghost. You know it's true. And we all have a prayer language, so your mind can begin to hear some of the words in your prayer language and repeat them. And that's great. It's not bad. I'm not saying you're not praying in tongues. But pray in tongues by the unction of the Holy Ghost. By the unction of the Holy Ghost. That's important. That'll bring revelation to you. Number two is time in the Word. People try to get all super hyper prophetic and come up with stuff that violates the Word of God. Well, that's taking you the wrong direction. You got to spend time in the Word. Get revelation from the Word. So that's point number two. Raise your level of revelation. So I just gave you some points about that. Number one, your level of revelation determines your manifestation. Number two, raise your level of revelation. And number three, once you receive revelation, you have power to command the manifestation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've already shared a lot about that. But once you receive that revelation, You have power to command the revelation, the manifestation. Jesus, when he received revelation of what the Father was doing, he didn't go back and say, "Oh, Father, now would you please do it?" You never see Jesus pray that kind of prayer. Would you, Lord, after God revealed to him it was time to raise Lazarus from the dead or multiply the loaves and the fishes, Jesus didn't pray some lame sissy prayer and say, "Oh, God, would you please do this? Would you please rend the heavens and come down?" I hate that. You know, he already did that. And all these prayers of unbelief and all that stuff and asking God to do what he's already revealed. No, when you have got revelation from the Father, it quickens on the inside of your spirit and you have the power to command that. Hallelujah. The Word of God is anointed to do everything that it says it's going to do. When you get revelation, when you get that Word on the inside of you, with that revelation, with that Word, is the power for you to command it and to see it manifest. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you didn't have power the day before, but now you've been in the presence of God and you speak it and it takes place. Hallelujah. That's exactly how that works, because it got quickened on the inside of you. Hallelujah. If you study into the Hebrew, from what I've understood, in the book of Genesis, when God breathed into Adam, it said that he made him a speaking spirit. When you get revelation, you are a speaking spirit. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word. You are a speaking spirit. When you get revelation of what God has for you, you're a speaking spirit. So that takes place because you, the speaking spirit, you speak that out. Hallelujah. So when you get revelation of what God is doing, what he wants to do on you and in your life, then you speak that out and you command it. You're not waiting anymore. You're no longer a subject to waiting for the devil to stop attacking. You don't have to hunker down and wait for the storm to blow over. You can stand up and say, "Peace, be still." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the power that you have. Why don't you praise God for that? Hallelujah. 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 Once you receive revelation, you have power to command manifestation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me just give you another point here before we wrap up. I got a few minutes. I'm just going to milk it for all it's worth. Say amen or I'll go an hour. You don't want me to go an hour, Lene? Is that what that's about? No, I'm just kidding. Once you receive revelation, you have power to command manifestation. The struggle here on that thought, once you receive revelation, you have power to command the manifestation. The struggle here is not God manifesting. See, that's what a spirit of religion has tried to tell us. The struggle is getting God to manifest. That is not the struggle at all. The struggle is not the manifestation. And that's where we've struggled with. The struggle is not the manifestation. It's not getting God to manifest. The struggle is us getting revelation. That's what Jesus was dealing with in Matthew chapter 16. He didn't go to the disciples and say, "You're not manifesting here. Try to manifest something. Come on, disciples, get in a huddle and pray in tongues or something and jump up and down and try to conjure up a man." He didn't deal. Jesus never dealt with the disciples on the basis of manifestation. And here in Matthew 16 and later on in Matthew 17, he dealt with their heart. He dealt with the inside. Because when you get that, then the manifestation is a given. It's going to take place. The struggle is not the manifestation. The struggle is not getting God to manifest. The struggle is right here. That's what Jesus dealt with. And the good news is you have power to change that. I don't know how God's going to manifest your miracle. If it's finances, if you need a house or whatever it is you're believing God, I don't know how God's going to manifest it. You may not have the ability to make the phone call or to get the favor with the right person that you need on your own ability, but you do have the power to get in the presence of God and get your heart full of revelation to the point where you know that I've got it. You come out of that place and you speak and command it, and then God manifests what you could never have manifested because you got the revelation. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. How many of you have learned something tonight? Say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you what, let's receive the offering right now. I'm not going to have you turn there. But we're going to receive an offering for Harvest Ministries before we let you go tonight. Thank you so much for coming. Look forward to seeing you Sunday morning. It's going to be an awesome, awesome service. Thank you so much for coming. I want to encourage you right now to worship God in your giving. Regardless of what your plans were, your thoughts, well, I'm not going to give anymore. Worship God in your giving. Your giving tonight is worship. Your giving is not a tip for the preacher. In the book of Leviticus, I believe it's the first seven chapters, talk nothing about other than sacrifices and giving. And giving offerings is worship to the Lord. So your giving right now is worship to the Lord for what He's done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 24, I'm just going to read this to you. The glory of God results in a giving heart. What God does is in your life tonight, what He's, the word that He's ministered, the anointing that you've received results in a giving heart. Hallelujah. And that's worship unto the Lord. Hallelujah. So thank you so much for being a part. We are, I'm telling you, Riley and I are working hard and fast in the ministry. We're building a new TV desk. We've got a television desk. Well, I'll show it to you when we're done. But I spent a year believing God for this and talking to furniture specialists and everybody. And nobody, I actually had one guy that could do it. I think his estimate was like $8,000 or something like that. And we're going full blown. This is the best possible television desk we can have because we're reaching out into the secular community. And we don't want people to just be flipping through the channel and flip right past us because it's this good enough for gospel mess. You know what I'm talking about? Well, maybe you don't. But anyway, we're doing it the best. And so it's coming along great. I'll show it to you in a little bit. We're working on some high school crusades. So your giving tonight is worship to God, but you're also helping us in the ministry. And in our television show is nationwide on Dish Channel 269. So you're a big part of that. Thank you so much for worshiping the Lord and your giving and being a part in the ministry call that we are walking in. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord tonight. Big hand for Pastor tonight.
Oh, thank God, thank God. I want you to join your faith with me on something here tonight. You'd have to be pastor probably to think like I'm thinking right now. It's amazing how many Wednesdays and Sundays have had bad weather over the last 2 months. And I heard on the news today they're saying heavy rains coming up Sunday. Well, it's heavy rains tonight. You say that's just a coincidence. Well, whatever it is, I want us to stand and take authority over that. Whatever it is, amen. It doesn't hinder everyone, but it does hinder some folks. But I mean, whether it be ice or rain or whatever it is, let's just stand together and join our faith now and believe that there's, for this part of the country, you know, those of us that have preached where it's 30 below zero and people there early for church, you know, You don't quite altogether understand that, but let's just believe God for Texas. Father, we call for weather that is encouraging and even compatible to go to the house of God on these Wednesdays and Sundays now, in Jesus' name. No more ice on Sunday or Wednesday. No more inclement weather, storm warnings, and all the things that the weatherman would say. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for that. And Father, we just look forward towards Sunday, and we say in the name of Jesus, bless the Conquerors Club Friday night, and we say Sunday is going to be a red letter day or a blessed day, whatever you want to call it. It's just going to be a day of blessing. I'll be ministering Sunday morning, and God is stirring my heart. We'll be honoring Brother Big John Hall here Sunday night, and it'll just be a powerful service. You don't want to miss it. Praise God. Father, I thank you for victory in all of these services now, in the name of Jesus. I said in the name of Jesus, and everybody said, hallelujah, praise God. Well, the Lord bless you. Drive safely. Go home rejoicing.